All right, I've been looking in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 6. Now, as normal, I'm just going to rattle on some stuff and get it out of my head, then get down to what we're doing. I have a couple things I want to make real clear that I need to share in the midst of it. And but Isaiah 6:8, Jay Holloway, that's one that he likes that scripture. And I like it. When I was 6 or 7 years old, this was the first scripture that I learned. It was a little town in Lewis. My grandmother used to, well, she went to this one church, but there was another church across McPhee Street, I think it was, and they did pottery in there, but they had a Sunday school in there sometimes, and this was the verse I learned, and it says, "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." Now, I'm just going to share this little tiny bit. That was one of my things I would say in my drunken stupors. I would quote that scripture, drunk, out of my mind. People would say, "Do you know what you told us last night?" I said, "No, I have no clue. I don't even know where I was last night." And I would quote that scripture. So when I started reading this, I had no clue about what I was. I only knew that. I didn't know the rest of the story. I didn't know Isaiah's vision or the commission after that. I had no clue. I only knew that one verse. So I started looking at this and the vision that Isaiah had there. So I'm going to go ahead and read a little bit of it. Let's look at it. Isaiah 6. And then we'll just start at the first verse. I'm going to explain myself before I read it. I've read the King James and then that New American Standard, because some people read that, some read the King James. I'm a King James guy. And I split it up. Like, one would have a word that would make, like, one would say, "in the house of the Lord." And the other would say, "in the temple of the Lord." So I had to do both of them, right? Which was really, ended up being the exact same thing. And just the way they used it. So all the way through, when I was doing this, I was reading both of them. So I'd read one, and then I'd read it again. And so when I'm talking, some of them are going to be coming out of one, and some of them are going to be coming out of King James, but they say the exact same thing in the end. All right? So let's just read a little bit. And if I don't pronounce it right, that's the way it is. Right, Hope? Oh, wow. Let me step back on that one. "In the year of King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings, and two covered his face, and two covered his feet, and two he could fly." And the King James says, "and two were with twine. He covered his face, and with twine covered his feet, and twine he did fly." And so it's just a different way of saying two. "And one cried unto another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, who is, the whole earth is full of his glory. Amen. And the post of the door was moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was full of smoke. "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am unclean, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." That's powerful stuff. Look at what he's looking at. Look at what he's seeing. "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am the man of unclean lips. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs." Now he's got a seraphim flying at him. Coming at him, picking up these tongs, right? "And then he laid it upon my mouth and said, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Then it says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying. Right? And then I'll do a little bit of 9. And he said, go and tell the people. Hear ye indeed, be understood, but understood not. See indeed, but perceived not. Make the heart of these people fat. Make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, lest they hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then I said, how long? And he answered, until the cities are wasted without inhabitation, and the houses are without men, and there is utter destruction. How long am I supposed to go share this? How long? This is what Isaiah is asking. This is Isaiah asking these questions. How long am I supposed to do this? This is to the end of time. Desolation of men. I didn't even want to talk about that. And the Lord removed men far apart, and there will be asking in the midst of the land. But there shall be a tent, and it shall return, and it shall be eaten until the teal tree and oak tree, whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Well, what we're going to look at this morning is the first 7 verses. That's all I'm going to do. And I'll be looking at that. So I'm going to start on my notes now. But I was really intrigued with it. Now, I know we read it and there's a lot in it, right? And I'm just going to say from my dad would say, you can't even begin to say one word about it if you don't read it 50 times. Well, I got another guy that tells me I can't do it unless I do it 100 times. So there you go. So you sit and read and you read and you read. And when you do read, it becomes clearer. You all know that. You know, how many times have you read something and you go back and read it? And then you read it. Then you read it. Right? But he gave us this vision of Isaiah. Right? Not just the story of Isaiah. You know, has this great vision, and we look to this vision, and we see coals, and we see seraphim flying down, and we see all this stuff going on, and we see the wings. Right? It's not just about that. Right? But we see that the Lord is, what's he doing here? He's filling his temple. And that's what he's doing. Remember this. I want to say it right in the beginning. Remember what? We are the temple. This is a story that happened. Isaiah had this vision way back. I think they actually said it was 750 years before Christ was here. Right? He had this vision. But he was filling the temple. And now we know today that we are the temple because we have the scriptures that tell us that. Right? And he filled it with, and then in Revelations 15:8 says, the smoke from the glory of God, the power, the greatness, fill the temple. And I'm thinking, wow. So right in the beginning, the first verse, right, the city of Uzziah and the throne is lifted up. And my thoughts started going, here's what I got written right here. I want to see the Lord high and lifted up. Isaiah got to see it. Why can't we see it? Right? We serve the same Lord, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. We've been here this morning, holy, 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 your song. Phil was talking about holy, 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 right? High and lifted up. Do we see that? Do you approach it like that? Do you ask him to say, I want to see the Lord, right? I want to see him. You know, I want to see that same thing that Isaiah, he saw the king high and lifted up. And there's even scriptures in Revelation where it talks about some of those same angels, but this is the only place I find seraphim. Now, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. They talk about angels and different things. The only place I see the seraphim is right here. But there is angels in heaven that are surrounding them. It says they have eyes within and around. They can see all the way around. And they're going, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Right? And they're all saying that same thing. Right? Now, I get into this kind of stuff, and I can see it coming. My head's getting clear now. But I want to tell a little story. They know, and Patsy knows. I went to Lowe's the other day. I was in the middle of doing this stuff, and I just go do what I got to do, pick out some stuff, and I see this woman looking at me, right? And she's looking, and I'm like, you know, I got to avoid that. I'll go over here and do something else. And she comes around the corner, and she's looking at me, right? And I'm thinking, she's got that hope look. I'm just kidding. You were just looking at me like that, Hope. But I'm looking at her, and I go, she wants something. She goes, sir, I'd like to talk to you for a minute. And she goes, really? I'd like to pray for you. And I said, well, wait a minute. What do you want to pray for? you know, what do you believe, what you're thinking. I just don't let people touch me no matter what. And she says, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm saved, and I really feel the Lord has laid you on my heart to pray for you. I said, if that's the case, I'll let you do it. She said, do you mind if I put my hand on your shoulder? I said, no, go ahead. And she prayed for the protection of my family. But she said, the prayer I want to pray is that you can get the Christ out that's in your heart. I'm praying that you can share Christ that you have in your heart with everyone you know. That was her prayer. She says, I feel the Lord wants me to pray that you can get Christ out of your heart that's in there. And I thought, well, there's a real application, because I need to know. You've heard me say this. Every day, I needed help. Every single walking out the door, I need to know that he's with me. Holy, holy, holy. Right? And then you got to start thinking. Now, we are the temple. Come on. Phil said it. Wrap your mind around that. That we are the temple. That his presence is within you. His presence is in there. I'm thinking, man, isn't that something? And then I want to do something that my dad pointed out to me, right? And then we'll get into what I'm doing. My dad said, he who speaks for God must know forgiveness, not as a doctrine, but as an experience. Amen. And I thought, man, I know that. Amen. I know that. And I'm just saying that because that's a thing that was pointed out to me when I was reading my book. I got this certain book that was given to me by my dad, and I'm reading through it, and I'm right here, I'm doing Isaiah, and I'm going, Lord, I need to know you're with me every day. We got to be able to see Christ moving. How can we see it today? Like Isaiah saw all these seraphim flying around. How do we get that look? Everybody needs help. Right? We're living in a world of mass confusion. You know we are. People are running scared. They're scared of everything. You know what I mean? I went to go visit some people the other day, and it just was amazing, the fear. And then the lady even said to me, well, you really must be a really strong believer because you're not afraid. And I went, I'm not afraid. No, I'm not afraid. I said, no, I'm not worried. That's all I can say. I don't have any fear in these matters. So I want to see the Lord lifted up. I want to see him in my life. As Isaiah was looking, these seraphim, think about them. Who had two of their wings covered their head. Two of their wings covered their feet. You know, you think about your feet and where you walk and what you do. And you can look at it in different ways of, you know, protection. Some people even thought they had them because God was so glorious in his sight, they even had to try to, like, keep from being able to lay eyes on him. He was so powerful. I read that somewhere. I don't know if that's true or not. Right? But I looked at it at the protection part. You know, we're protected. We are the seraphim here is coming down. What's he end up? I'm jumping, man. I am all over it. That's funny. I knew it. I knew I'd do it. All right. Let me get back to what I'm supposed to do. And so I saw him lifted up high on the throne. His train filled the temple. The Lord is exalted, right? And he is filling the temple. One says filled. In King James, the other one says filling. So we have two things going on at the same time. And I thought about that. Like I said, the Lord is lifting it up, right? We are the temple. 2 Corinthians 6:16. You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. So you know I'm just not saying that. And walk in them. Every one of you know these scriptures. I'm not talking to the people that don't know. But I'm just saying, his train filled the temple, right? And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. My thought was, fill our temples with your presence. See, and that's what I got thinking along, right? So when we're in the world, people can see there's a difference. People are confused and worried, and they can look, hey, what do you got going on? Well, you know it ain't Rick Baker. If I'm at rest, if I'm at peace, if there's something going on, what is it? I want to say his name, Obed-Edom. All he did was point people to Christ, right? He opened the door. He was a doorkeeper in the temple. The temple, Solomon's temple, way, whatever it was, he ended up being a doorkeeper to point people into Christ. That's all we do. We're doorkeepers to Christ, right? And so we're reading that. He's filling the temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now just think on that. Take that, go to work, and think that the temple, you are the temple of God, and God dwells within you. I mean, that to me is good. I'm good right there for a week. I can walk around. You're with me every day. Think of the glory, the creator of all. Go standing out there on the pond where I live, right? And I'm out there, I'm going, wow, look at this. Birds are flying down and it's all peaceful back there and there's trees and God created all this. And that his spirit wants to live within me. I'm thinking, wow, that's powerful in its own self. Think on that. Get to know the power of the creator is in you. In me. All right, the seraphim. About the temple. One says it's above the temple. The other says stood above the Lord. Right? Just a little difference of phrasing, but above the temple and above the Lord. I talked about the six wings and what they do and the covering and all those kinds of things. And you see the Lord does move about in your life. Those seraphims moved about. They did things. They did stuff. Right? The Lord does move in your life. Everybody has something going on. I like your thing with the kids down there. That's really cool that they're doing that with the kids. Because isn't that important, what we're teaching the kids? And remember, just keeping that in mind. There you are. So you're carrying around the power of all living God. What are you fearing? You shouldn't have no fear. I don't care what's in front of you. I was a little fearful of Pete's dog when I pulled up, though. He said, sitting in the truck. So I didn't pet him. But, you know, there you go. What are we fearing? Really, we shouldn't be walking around with fear. Knowing, get to know that. Is he high and lifted up? And the thing is that how they do that every time, right? In verse 3, one cried out to another. One of the seraphim cried out, right? And then what did he start saying? Holy, 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 the Lord of hosts. The whole world, earth, is full of his glory. In Revelations 4, 8 through 11, holy, holy, holy. Let's give the Lord Jesus all the praise in the temple. All the glory goes to God. You want to be filled with his glory, right? Numbers 14:21. And the whole earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. I just found scripture after scripture talking about filling with it. And holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God. Do you make that approach? Approach him, Lord, holy, holy, holy. You want some power in your life? You want some stuff and going on? I just look at my friend here, man. We're getting along and whatever. We're sharing the Lord with each other when we get together. It's not about us. We know it's about the Lord. And it's been cool. And we stand in his backyard and we look out there and he says the same thing. Can you believe the Creator wants to live within us? We don't. We don't know each other from our past, but we have similar backgrounds. And the Lord has changed our lives because his glory is shining through. Blessed be always the name forever. And I'm going to say it. You're going to say, well, Rick, all he said was holy, holy, holy. Well, there you go. And that's where we're going to be, right? Person at the time. But when we do that in verse 4, right, and the post and the door moved. This is where I want to go. The foundation of the threshold trembled at the sound of what? Holy, 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 the Lord of hosts. That's what it says. It said, one said to another. Now, I don't know when he was saying it to Pat or saying it to you, you were saying it back to me. If the other seraphim was saying it, I'm not clear. But if it was one, if it was us all, we stand here and go, holy, 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 the floor will shake in the presence of the Lord. Right? The power of that shaking. I love it. Right? That he shook the threshold, the doors. Right? And I like that because that's how we enter in. And who's the door? Christ is the door, right? He's going to shake that old door I used to walk through. I step on that threshold. Man, something's happening. Something's changing. This is another door. What's going on here? What are we seeing? The door. The door post, one of them says. The other one says the threshold, right? I've been standing on some thresholds. Right? Is he shaking your life? Is he getting your attention? Are you saying holy, holy, holy? That's a good thing. That's not a bad shaking. The Lord's shaking it. The power of God is in your life. Oh, man. Knowing that he is here with you is the key. He's not a far-off guy. We're going to have high pie in the sky, right, Phil? Someday. We can have that presence. Boy, is that Charles Baker saying or what? That's my dad. He told me that all the time. Why wait to get to heaven when we can have a piece of him today? So there they are. It's shaking, but we're not crumbling. We're shaking because now we see Christ as the door. Right? We're standing there. And he starts changing your life because you're going, holy, holy. You want to dwell within me? He shook my heart. So over 20 years ago, he shook my heart. Way before that, even. If I could stand around and quote scripture when I'm drunk, think about it. I've had people tell me that I've actually preached sermons and I don't even remember doing it. When I was in drunken stupors. Don't even remember being there. And he wants to live within this. And the power that we need to have. When we get together and we have that power, right? People need to look in and see, look, that group of Christians, they're getting along. Because the world needs to see unity in people. They need to see this, instead of this, all this division, everybody, people running around. That's the enemy, man. He wants to divide. Christ wants to bring us all together. Amen. Let's say it. Holy, holy, holy. Amen. The Lord of hosts. Amen. And the power of the Lord will be with us. Amen. It's not far-fetched. Isaiah saw it. He saw the Lord lifted up. And the seraphims are up there, right? I can see it. I don't have no problem with it. In my life, I know I can't change Rick Baker. There ain't no way. There ain't no way. I liked my life. I wasn't like complaining about it. I wasn't like, oh, God, help me. I was like, whew, thank you for stepping in. Thank you for changing my heart. Thank you for shaking my foundation, man. Come on, I need a new door. He just steps in. We ask him in, and he just does it. He did the work in my life. 1 Kings. Back in the Old Testament, the glory of the Lord filled the temple, the tabernacle, right? To where Moses couldn't even get in it. The presence of the Lord was so strong that he couldn't even go inside in the temple. Now, let's say we are the temple. The presence is so strong in your life, right? And so, right, man can't destroy it. Man can't even bother that. They got to step back and take a look. What is that? What has they got? What's Miss Hope? Look at the joy that Miss Hope has been showing us for the last ever. But in the last 6 months, more than ever. Right? Right? Look at that. Man can't touch that. They're amazed at what's going on with Hope. Because it's the glory of the Lord. The power. You can't take that out of Hope. See, he filled her with that power. The temple was full. To where we just got to step back and go, wow, look at Lex. Look at Pat. Look at my sister. We all have different ministries we do. And you're doing it only because of the power that lies within you through him. Revelations. And the temple was filled with smoke. This is another point I want to make here. From the glory of God and his power. So now we got smoke. And then a cloud in the Old Testament was coming over. And he did that. Right? Now this is the part that really gets me. Is he's filling the temple. And we see it, seeing us being filled as the Lord. How can we see this being filled in ourselves? It's easy to look back and see the Old Testament, the cloud coming down. We see the seraphim up here in Isaiah's dream, and we see what he does and what his message is. But how do I see it, the smoke? How do I see the power? How do I get to know? I need to know. I'm talking for me. I'm talking about myself. Rick Baker needs some help. You guys don't even get it. I need help right now to get out that door. And he wants to dwell within such a heart. Ain't that right, Kat? He loves you that much. That's right. That's how much he cares for us. Okay, he's filling his house with the house and the temple with his smoke. He's filling each and every one of us with his power, the power of his presence. Everyone, we accept Christ. We all have the same power. You know better than me. I'm no better than you. You know better than us. And Ed's no better than nobody. And all you guys, right? You're not. Maybe Walt's a little better. He's shaking his head. When he's filling us with his smoke. I just think it's neat that he can't destroy that. Man can't touch it. They got to stand back and go, wow, that's some real power and this hope. His presence, his glory. It's the same thing. I just can't get it out of my head, right? And so that shaking, that changing, a lot of you know me. I had quite the anger problem and the drinking problem pretty much all my life. And I can remember my dad when I was a little kid, he tried to even beat it out of me. You know what I mean? We need to beat that boy. My sisters would get me beat even. They would say, look at dad, he's terrible. Look at him. Do something with that boy. Then they beat me. He beat me. Then they'd be mad at dad for beating me. So dad couldn't win. But I always had this rage, this anger all in my life. So the power of the Lord started stepping into my life, right? And almost immediately for me, my life started changing. Different stuff started falling away. But I want to talk about that smoke and that glory, right? And I want to hope I can make this clear to you. I can see it myself because I know it's been happening in my life. And I talk about me being angry or me being a drinker or whatever. Me and my sister, we were good at that. Well, it was funny, me and my sister at one time both worked in a liquor store. Imagine that. Isn't that right? I mean, we're right where we need to be, you know what I mean? A liquor store. Serious. And the Lord wants to change our hearts. You know what I mean? He steps in. What liquor store? We ride by him. We don't even care. It's gone, isn't it, Patsy? You know what I mean? That stuff is gone. So the smoke, the power of God starts rolling in your life. And you go, wow, look, wow, that fell off. And that piece of old Rick drops off. And that smoke, the power of the glory of God, starts doing more stuff. And you make another step, and you go, man, there's some more stuff. Man, that I don't even pick that one up no more. Now, I got issues with other stuff. Don't get me wrong. I got stuff, man, that still need a mess of work, right? But you can see where he's already stepped in, and his power is filling in your life. That smoke is pushing other stuff out. If you can get the idea of smoke being his power and his glory and his honor. Right, that's what I mean by what I'm saying. The smoke, that because, and I want to give you an illustration of it. It's a really good one. The other day, I come home, right, and I open the door, and there's smoke rolling all in the house, right, all in the house. Well, Kathy makes homemade coffee, and she was cooking it, right. And I mean, I go in, I open up the back windows, open up the back windows, and all the windows and the fans are going. It's one of the smoke alarms weren't going off, right, and the smoke is rolling out the windows. And going outside and going out the doors, right? So there's some masons down the road working. So I go down to visit them. And Gavin was with me. Oh, he's in the other room. He's my witness. I go down to see him. And the guy goes, man, I keep getting this fresh smell, great coffee. And I'm standing there going, the smoke. He's talking about coffee. And I'm thinking, the smoke, can we roll? Will that roll out of us where people can feel that smoke? Can they see it in your life, the smoke rolling out down the road where people are going, wow, that smells good. I want a piece of that. And I'm going, wow, smoke it up, Kathy. You know what I mean? Burn them beans. Because there it is. It's rolling out. Can it roll? Let the power. And how do we get that? Holy, 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 the Lord God of all hosts. It's that simple. Call, just stand there and yell that. Then in your backyard, wherever you want, do it in your house. Just start calling on him all the time. Man, I need another step. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I got to go see Patrick today. Holy, holy, holy. And then one other illustration of how that works. I had a disagreement with these two people the other day. And I had to hang the phone up. I'm jumping it, but it doesn't matter. I'll get back to it. It's the part about where what's on your lips, and the angel seraphim comes down, and he puts the rock, the hot coal on the lips, and he says your iniquities are forgiven and your sins are gone. Well, here I am talking to Patrick and Kelly. They have been most kind. Serious business. I'm not even kidding. And they call me and say they've asked me one thing in 6-7 months. I didn't have kind stuff on my lips. I just was offended or whatever the reason was. I said, look, you guys got to let me call you back. I got to go. I can't talk to you right now. I got to get off the phone. I don't like this. I'm not liking that. I said, let me go. I got to get off. Here I am in the middle of doing this, talking about the Lord, the seraphim putting something on my lips, and here I am spouting junk. Right? And it wasn't bad. I wasn't nasty, nasty, but they probably could feel it in the vibe of the attitude. And what's even funnier, I couldn't get good reception, so they have to sit in their pickup truck out in the field and talk to me. So I hung up on them, and they're out in the field waiting for me to call them back. So I call them back, and I said, I apologize. Right away. I didn't even give them a chance. I said, let me explain myself. But here's the point I want to make, is right away with them, they said, it doesn't matter. We didn't even realize we were saying what we were saying, and we were both. But there's the Christian lifting up Christ, holy, holy, holy. No division happened because of that. See, and that's the point, that you can just go right through stuff. Go to a Christian brother, sister, whoever. Say, man, I got an issue. I'm sorry, right? Then that really opened us up to that angel coming down and touching their lips and being careful about what I say and how I say it. Not even a lot of times what I say, it's how it comes out, because I am quite rude at times. But there he is, the seraphim touching their lips. I'm not taking too much time, am I? We good? Good. All right. In Deuteronomy, hear, O Israel, the Lord the God. And you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. He's commanding these words and he's putting them in your heart. They shall be in your heart. It's not like, are they going to be? Can it be? Will they be? God says they're there. He's already placed it. Holy, holy, holy. Right, there it is. But here's what I want, this part. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And I was thinking when you said that this morning, what are we teaching the kids? And there we have down there in Seaford, trying to bring kids in to teach them about Christ, right? And then what are we teaching? I think about with little Gavin all the time. He's always teaching us stuff, that little boy. I tell you, his few years with Pup Up Baker sure wore off on him. Man, he sees the Lord everywhere. A little teeny kid talks about God like that. He even turns stuff off on TV if he feels it's offensive towards the Lord. It shut it right off. We ain't watching that. But there he is. What are we teaching our kids, right? We shall talk with them and sit in your house, and you will, and by, and where you walk, and by the way, what are you sharing? What are we talking about, right? That's a scripture in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. Talks about what are we talking about in our houses, right? And I think about it. A lot of times we have people, I've had discussion with Kathy, and people talk about nothing sometimes. You know what I mean? Then if you try to bring up the Lord, right, it's a real quick 2-minute conversation and people want to go back to something else and talk about other things. So what are you talking about in your walk, right? And that's why I enjoy Patrick. If he's there after work, right away, we're not long. Oh, yeah, the house looks good. Yeah, great. Boom. He's right in the scripture somewhere. So it's real encouraging to me to have somebody that likes to do that. And it's funny how that happens. It's easy not to talk about. There's so much stuff going on. There's the division. Division is they don't want to hear about the Lord. That's the problem. And you do it with people, they don't want to hear about it. They're like, oh, yeah, that all works, you know, sometime, you know, it's good for this or good for that. What are you talking about in your house? What are you talking about in your temple? Are you lifting him up? Holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. It's talking to me. I'm not talking to you guys. This is all for me. I'm sitting there reading and going, wow, what am I doing? What am I doing? You shall write them on the, and this was Deuteronomy 6, 9. It says, you shall write them on what? The doorposts of your heart, of your house, of the temple. And we got one in Deuteronomy talking about a doorpost. What's on that doorpost, Patrick? You know, what's on that doorpost? What is it? What that threshold you're standing on, right? You shall write them on the doorposts. What is written on my doorposts? Right? And I want to go back to Isaiah 6:4, and about when he cried out, that they cried out. And we see, I got a little lost there. It's good, though. And Moses, I'll do another one, 33:20. Moses couldn't even look on the face of God at certain times. And all that kind of, you know, where he hit him in the cleft of the rock and all those different things, the presence of the Lord and the power that he has, right, and that he dwells within our hearts. the seraphim. I want to talk about that just a little bit. I want to make this point about those guys. They when they come, the seraphim comes to him. I got to read it. I have to read it to you. I won't be able to let it go. And the doorpost and the house is filled, and the house is filled, and the house was filled with smoke. Then woe is me, for I am undone. But that seraphim comes down to him, and he sees what's going on with the Lord of hosts, and he feels like he's unclean. He's not worthy. That's what Isaiah, he's having this vision, right? And he feels like he's not worthy to even see the vision. He's going, man, I am unclean. Look at me. Right. And a lot of times people don't want to recognize that. It's good that you, if you see the Lord, right, I'm hoping you're seeing you need some help. Because if we don't think we need any help, I'm talking about me. I'm talking. This is how I'm looking at it when I'm reading it. If I don't realize I need some help, man, if I just think, well, there's the Lord. Yeah, I'm good. See, you know what I mean? And he got down there. Even Simon, those guys, the fishermen, when Christ told him to go out and fish again, right, and get more fish. And then when he brings it in, he even had to have help. Right? I like that point. Other people had to come help. Other people had to get it. See, when God does something, it doesn't just benefit one person. It benefits us all. Right? I love that point. But what they did, they fell before his feet and said, oh, man, I'm not worthy to be here. Before Christ. There's something about him. Keeps us on our knees. Keeps us where we need to be. You know what I mean? Keeps us thinking, man, well, I do need him every day. I am not worthy to see that. And I just like the whole idea that Simon said that. Go away from me. I am a sinful man. That's what he said to Christ. Go ahead, go. Right? And what he did was all just helped him out. He helped him meet a need. It was a need. That's how they made their living. That's how people ate. That's what they did. Right? And God met a need. Is he meeting your needs today? Do you know he's the one supplying your needs? Or do you think you're crazy enough to think it's just because you're doing it? I do it right. You know, nobody can blow it quicker than I can, I'll tell you. Just as Isaiah did in the middle of his vision, he saw, I am an unclean man when he is touched, right? So what happens then? Then the seraphim guy, right? With his wings, think about that thing. Now, I tried to find the size of the seraphim. I didn't know if he was big, small, medium, but that's what I kind of like, that we don't know the actual size of it, because anybody could be carrying the message from the Lord. Doesn't matter what your size is or what you look like or where you come from or what your background is, right? But I like that he had these wings around his head and then he could fly down. And I just think of the power of that. He's up there going, holy, holy, holy. Things are shaking, right? Doorposts are moving. Things are shaking. Get that in your head, right? And this seraphim's full of power because he's singing about God. But at the same time, he's gentle enough to come down and put a rock, a coal out of a fire that he had first picked up with his, and touch your lips. Almighty power, but at the same time, gentle enough just to do it without hurting you. That's a big deal, man. This guy's singing, holy, 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 things are shaking, but at the same time, he's gentle. I love it. I just sat there and go, yeah, yeah, come on, man. You're shaking everything up, but at the same time, you're willing to touch our lips in a way that's gentle, that's easy. Because that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about the gentleness and how good it is to have the Lord in your life. How many of you had things changed in your life that nobody needs to know about? Serious business, man. Nobody needs to know. He's changed your life. It's gentle. It's not for public display, everything, is it? And he changes that thing in your heart, and you're going, I can't believe it. You did it. I want to scream it, but I can't. They ain't going to believe it. You did what? My dad used to say to me, don't tell that stuff. You can't tell that one, he would say, right? I said, but that's so good. He says, it doesn't matter. People, some things the Lord does privately. Amen. The gentle touch of that angel coming down. Think about that. Here he is, all power, glory, glory. Things are shaking. You got to get that in your head because that's how I think about it anyway. I'm thinking, look, and then he's gentle. I thought, wow, wow. The gentle touch of the Lord. All right, I'm going to, a couple more minutes. Nah, about 7 minutes, I'll be done. Can you hang in there that long? God's power and glory. Smoke, if you will. Use that expression. See, it's rolling out of Kathy's kitchen. The smoke is rolling down the street where people were even being affected by. Can we roll that to our families? And it wasn't harsh. Even that was just a nice fragrance coming out, right? I can be a little rough about, you know this. And Kathy always has that gentle touch. That's what he does. He loves us as we are. Thank goodness for that. As if you had to get fixed up first. All right, I'm going to do this and we're going to. I love that thing of that seraphim touching the lips, gentle. I want you to remember that. Gentle touch of the Lord. Even though they're shaking, things get rattled, he's still in control. It's because of his glory that they're shaking. See, we get thinking, well, something's shaking and it ain't God. Nah, he's shaking it up, man. He's in control. No doubt about it. Just like Isaiah was seeing the Lord high and lifted up, and I hope you can see through these little examples I've given you that God is high and lifted up, and that we can see him working in our lives, little things that change. That's him working. That's not you being a great person. That's him doing the work, right? High and lifted up. Every time something, you know, something, anything, right? You go, man, all right? And even if it's not absolutely perfect, you know, you go, all right, Lord, what are you showing me? What are you doing? But I want to look at this thing here about the power of God, right? And that coal from that altar and how they picked that up. And I want to talk about real power. And I'm just going to do it. I don't know what it says here. I could just throw them over there somewhere. I'm just shuffling to look like I'm doing something. And I'm buying time is what I'm doing. But the power of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Let's talk about real power. When he died up there, they took the vinegar or whatever it was, and however it was, they gave it and they put it on his lips. How about that? And Christ had something touch his lips. Just as he wants to reach down and touch your lips. Right? And what does he do? When the angel did that, he said, your sins are forgiven, to Isaiah. Your iniquities are gone. That's what the seraphim said to him. So that's what led me to go on to see, well, Christ is the Savior. Christ is the angel of the Lord. Christ is the one who has all power. So I go and I look up that scripture. And I knew that they did that, but they touched his lips. And what's he say right after that? Christ says, it is finished. And he died. He gave up the ghost. Right after it touched his lips. I thought, wow. Well, then what happened when he died? The earth shook. The earth shook. Not a door threshold. The earth, the whole world shook. Rocks were cracked. Split in half. What is it? The veil. How big it was ripped right down. The veil was opened up. The real power. Think about that. Now, I know the angels shook some doors and they sing holy, holy, but we have that Christ that has earth-shaking power living within you right now. That's pretty wild. Wrap your head around that. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, right? And he shakes it and the ground splits. And what I like this part, some dead people even rose up and went to town when he died. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that. Earth shaking, right? Me and Miss Hope, we were dead before we had the Lord. And what did he do? He brought us to life. And we came up out of that grave. And when he died on the cross, your sins were forgiven. Then, he washed it up right then. He said, it's finished. The work is over. I've done it. And he did other stuff. I know that. We're not going to do that. I'm just sticking to the power and the glory, right? And he did that. But in my life, man, I was dead as a doornail. He shook my world. He stepped in and goes, "Here you go, Rick Baker. Shake that off. Here, fill my glory. Let that drunken 30 years be gone." I want to tell a testimony so bad, I don't know. And the you know, when I got saved, I don't know how many of you know it, but I'm going to do it right now. When I got saved, the week up to coming, up to when I got saved, a week binger is nothing for us. We drank forever. We drank from when we got up till we went to sleep. And I didn't know what to do. And I was drinking and driving, riding the back roads, doing my thing. I knew how to go everywhere, never hitting the highway. And I decided to go to my dad's house. And I hadn't seen my dad in quite a while. I pull up in my dad's driveway. He's running out the front door, running. "I knew you were coming, bud. I knew you were coming. Come on in. What can I do for you?" "I knew you were coming. Hadn't seen me in I don't know how long." And I was tore up. "Come on in. Ooh, you want some breakfast food?" Dad would cook you breakfast food any time of the day. Right? He was ready to feed you. "What do you want to eat? Do you just want to lay down and sleep? Here, just stay right here. Don't go nowhere." That was my last drunken stupor. My dad didn't say, "What are you doing? How come you're off doing this?" He welcomed me. The Lord welcomes you in. Right? And that power, that earth-shaking power that my dad was able to give to me through Christ, it changed my life. It changed my life. No, and he says, "It's over." My dad knew it was over. "And here's what I want you to do." And he gave me instructions for that weekend. I went to Hotchwa, and the Lord changed my life. Life-changing, shaking stuff through the name of Christ. Right? The glory is filling up. I got smoke going on, right? Remember, rolling down the road. Do people get to see it every day? Some days they're probably going, "Man, my boy needs somebody. He needs some smoke in there. He needs some power. He needs the Lord." But we go to Him, the Creator. And I love that Christ did that on the thing. But I want to share two more scriptures and then I'll stop. That's just a tiny bit of what happened that weekend. But how the Lord changed my life. He shook my life. But my dad running out. I can see him right now in my mind. Right out the door. 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Wide awake. "I knew you were coming." The Lord knows you're coming. He's ready for you, man. He is ready. Whatever thing it is you need. If it isn't salvation. If it's something you need. You know. Some kind of want. You know, that kind of thing. Like, especially prayers for other people. He answers that quicker than anything. I'm really into that. We teach Gavin to pray for others all the time. But there he is, the earth-shaking power. Rocks split. My life was changed. Miss Hope's life was changed years ago, right? And that's the power of the Lord. He just said it's finished after his lips were touched. What are we sharing that can bring life-changing things to people's lives? What can we do with that? What can I do that could share? When I'm standing there talking, we have some rough characters in the construction business, and you don't know what to say sometimes, you know? I'll give my friend Patrick, I'm keep talking about him, but he's good at that, right? And he can just talk to him, and they talk to him. I said to his wife, I said, "Look, Patrick shows up, he just takes right over." I mean, he just could get into the conversation about the Lord in a nice, easy way. I'm going, well, my lips don't have all that. I'm thinking, shut the radio off. What's wrong with you guys? I got a headache. You know what I mean? Here's Patrick all nice and calm. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's full of vinegar. And that's what he did. But I want to share a scripture here about the gentleness of the Lord Jesus Christ too, right? And we all know this one. Galatians 5:22, right? Love, joy, peace, but gentleness. The most power of all power, life-shaking power, earth-shaking power that can change your life through Him. Not because we're great people, but through Him, right? And I like this as one of my most favorite verses is the wisdom that is from above is first what? Peaceable, gentle. And I like this, easily to be entreated. Easily done. There's that gentle side. He's got the power to shake the earth, the whole earth. Not just a door frame, but the whole earth. He could shake it if he wanted. There was veils were ripped. Stones were doing. People's graves came up because of what he did. You came up out of the grave because of what Christ did on the cross. Earth-shaking power. But let's share it with a gentleness that makes them want to go, wow. Wow, they're that calm? Well, where do you get? You seem powerful, but you're calm. How about the lady praying for me? I mean, she was insistent. She actually bugged me a little bit, and I said, okay, go ahead. But her prayer was great, that we could share the Christ that's within us. Amen. Right? And peaceful, gentle. So that's Isaiah 6, 1 through 7. And he laid it upon my mouth and said this, and touched my lips, thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sins are purged. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, who go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Are you ready? Are we ready to share him in a gentle way, but show his power? And let him see that life-changing power that he has. Are we ready? And then we go forever. And then I can do the other part some other time. I got the second half. It's different. Lord, we thank you that glory, 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 Lord of hosts, that you want to dwell in our hearts, in my heart, Lord, the creator of all. Lord, we thank you that we can have this facility here to lift up the name of Jesus. Everything lies within him. We just want to give you the praise. We want to know that power, that glory, that we can gently share with the world. In Christ's name, amen. Lex did it last week. You got any questions? Ask somebody else. Nah, man, it's cool. I appreciate it. I appreciate that I could do this. You don't even know. It's amazing. I'm seeing it, man. I'm telling you. He's high and lifted up. Amen. Get it, people. No, he's the power. Amen. It's amazing. And what's funny is that when you do that stuff and you say that, then I'll get aggravated from here to my car about something. Isn't that the reality of it? You know what I mean? And you're like, okay, here I am again. Here we go. But he never leaves you. He doesn't take off. He doesn't like just drop you to the side and start all over. No, continue from where you were. All right, I'm done.